present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Well, hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us for a second visit to Weston-super-Mare. Weston lies close by the River Axe. This is formed by the confluence of several streams which emerge from limestone caves at Wookie Hole, the Mendip Passage, St Swildon's Shaft and Cuthbert's Swallow, all features formed in the Pleistocene Age and named in the Euphemism Age. The Arctic explorer Sir William Edward Parry sailed from Weston for Canada in the spring of 1832, where he befriended a tribe of Eskimos. Parry controversially married, and the couple returned in the winter, becoming sick on the voyage. As they disembarked, it was obvious he had influenza, and his new wife was a little husky. It was recently claimed that the picturesque Somerset village of Church Stanton was the inspiration for the Archer's village of Ambridge. A property developer bought several parcels of building land, only to discover there was a massive hole in every plot. He tried to take legal action, but there was no one there who could act for him. Many components of the world's first supersonic airliner were manufactured in Somerset. Concordes were built as a joint venture with Aerospatiale in Toulouse. Tasks were split, so while the British engineering team designed the wings, fuselage and tail fin, the French team had lunch. The town of Weston virtually owes its existence to the arrival of the railway, which was built by Isambard Kingdom Brunel, whose engineering skills were tested to their limits in producing tunnels through the county's hills. But Brunel isn't the last to bore Somerset. Please welcome on my left, Barry Cryan, Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and John Finnemore. And settling down on my left hand, please welcome our glamorous scorer, the ever delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a look at some new entries in the Uxbridge English Dictionary. A good dictionary is an essential tool for learning the different uses of apparently similar terms. For example, many people don't understand the correct use of the words lifeless and inert. Well, if something is lifeless, it means it lacks excitement or animation or is incapable of supporting life. Whereas if something is inert, you shake it all about, you do the hokey pokey and you turn around. And that's what it's all about. Oi. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, so Tim's, your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Tim, can you start?
Gastric, raising energy prices without your customers knowing.
And Barry?
Twerk. What we do in Yorkshire between 9 and 5.
Graham?
Buccaneer. What American pirates pay for piercings.
John.
Smirk. Somerset for it's a Mercedes.
Inflate. Her Majesty's plane has taken off.
Trouble. Yorkshire building waste.
Mystical, the daughter of Mr. Tickle. Unfortunately, he named her Tess.
Lambada, a sheep with tin legs.
Barney, rather like a barn.
Inferno, assume not.
Celery, bit like a cellar.
Behemoth, an insect that makes holes in your jumpers and then fills them with honey.
Eerie. Bit like an ear.
Symbolic. Prosthetic testicle.
Whiskey. Bit like a whisk.
Purgatory. To slip X-lax into Michael Gove's coffee.
Well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the round called
Slough Pickup. Skate. Somerset for this gate belongs to Lou.
So the teams are going to sing for us now in the round called Pickup Song. Samantha is poised at the turntable and ready to give the discs a spin. You should sing along, teams, and try to keep in time when Samantha turns the volume down. If, when the music returns, you're within a cheesy quaver of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean what people drink in Somerset pubs. What do points mean?
Prizes!
And... No, you're wrong. It's prizes, apparently. This week's prize is sure to delight anyone who's a fan of funeral transport competitions. It's an all-expenses-paid trip to the Hearse of the Year show. Now, Graham, you're to start, and I'd like you to accompany Eddie Cochran singing She's Something Else.
Look at there. Here she comes. There comes that girl again. Wanted to date her since I don't know when. But she don't notice me when I pass. She goes with all the guys from out of my class. But that can't stop me from thinking to myself. She's so fine looking, man. She's something else. Hey, looky there. Across the street. There's a car just made for me. To own that car would be a luxury. But my dollar can't afford the gas. A brand new convertible is out of my class. But that can't stop me from thinking to myself. A car's fine looking, man. There's something else.
It's something else. No!
Okay, well, you're next, John. I'd like you to accompany Bernard Cribbins singing Right Said Fred.
Right said Fred, both of us together on each end and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it, we was getting nowhere. And so we had a cup of tea and right said Fred, give a shout to Charlie, up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, heaving and complaining, we was getting nowhere. And so we had a cup of tea and Charlie had a think, and he thought we ought to take off all the handles and the things that hold the candles.
John Finnemore there is a man of hidden talents. Yes, he's good at needlework and long jump. You now, Barry. Would you accompany Elvis Presley singing Devil in Disguise?
You look like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. The devil in disguise. You fooled me with your kisses. You cheated and you schemed. Heaven knows how you lied to me. You're not the way you seemed. You look like an angel.
Look like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like an angel. But I got wise.
Barry's ear problem means that he now has trouble hearing himself sing. Help is available on our webpage for anyone else who would like to have trouble hearing Barry sing. Finally, Would you, Tim, please accompany Miley Cyrus singing Wrecking Ball?
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why. We kissed, I fell under your spell. A love no one could deny. Don't you ever say, I just walked away. I will always want you. I can't live a lie, running for my life. I will always want you.
I feel a complete twerk here.
I came in like a wrecking ball. I never hit so hard in love. All I wanted was to break your walls. All you ever did was wreck me. Yeah, you wreck me. I put you high up in the sky, and now you're not coming down. It slowly turned, you let me burn.
You're not coming down. It slowly turned, you let me burn down.
Tim, I think you might have slipped into the disappointing follow-up album there, Tim.
Yeah, but that was very energetic dancing he was doing throughout.
It was amazing, actually. I've not seen you take your clothes off like that before.
You little liar.
Well, the next game is called Radio Product Placement. The subtle inclusion of branded products is now well established in today's films and TV dramas, but almost unheard of on the radio. To this end, I'd like you, Barry and Graham, to perform a short scene from a radio drama into which they should attempt the subtle inclusion of some well-known products from a certain sponsor. I'd like you to enact part of a spy drama which has been sponsored by the Cheese Board. So, Tim and John, keep your ears out for any cheese-related products being slipped past you. And so please start your scene now, Barry and Graham.
And this is episode one of Smelly's People.
Come in.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Smelly?
Call me George.
George, Mr. Smelly wants to see you.
Never mind. What have you to report, Agent Cheese?
Well, I'm just back from Argentina, and I've been following the woman, codename Cheddar Gabler.
Quite mature, is she?
Yes, and seriously strong.
Then we must proceed carefully. She sounds foreign.
Foreign, yes. She comes from the little village of Queso Blanco con Frutas. It's between Queso Jalapeno and Queso Quesadilla.
A far cry from Tunbridge Wells. Still, Tunbridge Wells must have its dark side.
Yeah, I tailed her dressed as Bertie Wooster, posing as a dog breeder.
Eat, damn, you're good.
The trouble is, she only goes out in disguise, lest her cover gets blown. However, I was able to follow her to a cinema showing a Danish blue movie.
I've never seen one of those. No. I did once see a Dorset Blue. Vinnie Jones was in it.
Yeah. In the cinema, I found a seat next to the stinking bishop.
That's his code name?
Unfortunately not. No, but I'm afraid she saw us together, and all she did was leer, damn her. I had to run for it.
Did you make it back to the cottage, Cheese?
I had to leave the country. I just had time to get to the port, salute the captain, and jump aboard the saucy Gorgonzola.
Fair breeze?
Yes, but Captain Monterey Jack had me polishing the deck until there was a double gloss to see his face in.
What about the Cheddar woman?
Now, before I left, I put the Dale brothers on her tail, Rick and Lee. They're coming in to report.
When's Lee Dale going to get here?
Any minute now, and Rick ought to be with him.
Wait a minute. What's that rock for?
That's my lunch.
The end.
I thought it was very good, although it could have been even gooder.
Just making things worse, John.
Well, actually, I did spot one, yes. Yeah, the lead character's surname. You won't have caught this, but it was cheese.
Damn.
And that is a type of cheese.
Yes.
So, point to us.
I got away with that one.
Yes.
Well spotted.
Yes. It's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, I notice from the bundle of correspondence stuffed in our pigeonhole that our pigeon is unlikely to try sitting down anytime soon. And that the correspondence comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. And she writes, "Dear Medical Matters, memory loss. Who am I to talk about memory loss? Yours sincerely, Mrs. What's-her-name, North What's-it." So on with the game, which, as we have a complete novice in the form of John Finnemore, will this week be played to original standard rules. Basic Learners version 1.
Okay, oh.
So, yes. Tim, you can start.
Well, to set you off fairly easily, Piccadilly Circus.
Piccadilly Circus.
Yep.
You get the sort of progression idea, don't you, John?
Well, not really, but I'm, you know, I keep my eyes open.
Marble Arch.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I say Baker Street, is that Baker Street?
Yeah, it's yeah. Well done, well done.
Okay.
Sounds as if the audience are pretty ignorant as well.
No, well done. Jolly well done.
No, it was well done.
I'm not going to patronise you. Patronise means talking down to people. Clapham Common.
Oh, dear. Make it simple. Oxford Circus.
Okay.
It's
Clapham Common, Oxford Circus.
Just calm down.
I'm just making notes.
Calm down, John. Oh. You're getting a bit edgy in those. Okay. It'll be all right.
Okay.
Finsbury Park.
Yeah.
Oh, Pimlico?
Nice move, young'un. Elephant and Castle.
Oh, sorry.
What?
I'm really sorry. Just, Jack, so can you explain? I mean, Graham hasn't declared a home station yet, so I'm just wondering how he's got the line velocity to straddle the diagonal. I mean, doesn't that mean that he has to stay within zone 1 and 2?
Obviously, I didn't adjudicate. I was just wondering if anyone's going to notice that. And well done, John. Yeah, you picked up on it.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought I might have missed something. You know,
you are actually right. Graham, you can't have Elephant and Castle, obviously, because of the diagonals.
Blimey.
And you know,
gloves are off now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm stumped. No, I'm not stumped. No, obviously, I've still got an escape route to Morden.
Oh, technically, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
he's beginning to irritate me.
Balham.
Right, sorry. One more thing.
Oh.
We are playing a team game, aren't we? Tim is on my side.
Well, yes,
right.
Because
obviously he wouldn't have wanted to deliberately place me in Stryle, would he? So he probably wouldn't have meant Balham.
Obviously, John has been listening to this game very carefully over the years.
Yeah.
And I knew
there was somebody.
He is right. John is right, strictly speaking, that you are streaming him by doing Balham, and that
strictly
probably
speaking.
Original rules, remember.
Okay. Of course, yes. I haven't played there. So, Lavender Hill, then.
Lavender Hill.
Mm. Yeah. Straight
ah, well. Clapham Common.
Oh, fantastic. An actual Templeman's Advance. I didn't know anyone was still doing those.
And certainly
my granddad used to play that when he was teaching me.
Yes.
That is so sweet. I haven't seen anyone do that since the Copenhagen Convention of 68.
No. I'm considering physical violence at the moment.
Anyway, I will declare Chalfont, but not Latimer, invoking Castleman's transposition and depleting, I think, all of Graham's silver tokens, sadly.
Where?
Which one was it done?
Chalfont, but not Latimer. Because I invoked Castleman, yeah.
Chalfont, not Latimer.
Yeah, so you've basically only got two things to do, and one of them will involve you losing in 2 moves, and the other, I think, in 8.
Is there a street called Smart Ass Street?
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. John, you failed to notice that Clapham Common had been bid before Graham's first bid with Clapham Common.
Just listen and learn, John.
No,
and then Barry came in with Clapham Common again,
mm-hmm.
and you followed straight in with Chalfont, but that that does compromise you.
Oh, no, I meant Latimer, not Chalfont. I meant Latimer, not Chalfont.
I'm sorry.
No, I hadn't taken my finger off.
You know what? You know what?
Be kind to him.
I'll be kind to you on this occasion, but I'm sorry that you can't do either of those because of your oversight there.
Okay, then oval.
Oh,
yeah. No!
No, not oval, you see.
All right,
just calm down.
Okay.
Just plenty of time. We can always edit it.
You won't be in it.
I said I wouldn't do this. Oh, no, I've got one. Mornington Crescent.
Oh, you little...
Yeah, you know. It was fun toying with you, gentlemen, but Mornington Crescent...
No, well done, Nipper.
Well done. Yeah, sorry you have to dash off.
All right. Well, that was fun. In this next round, the teams are going to delve into the world of celebrity. It's not easy trying to live your life in the public eye. When Barry Cryer got off the train here this morning, he was mobbed by over 80 women. Well, two of them were over 80, the other was over 90. And so that Timbrook Taylor doesn't get unwanted attention when buying online or booking hotels, he takes the precaution of using an obscure name, Timbrook Taylor. Now I'm going to read out a day-in-the-life-style article featuring the words of a well-known local personality. However, certain keywords or phrases have been removed, and the teams will try to guess what's missing. This week's subject is Lord Archer of Western Supermare. Okay. My mother was a tremendously strong woman. She became a...
tag wrestling sensation.
A local councillor. My father was a...
Nobel Prize winning bishop, field marshal, astronaut and third in line to the throne of Russia. Though, of course, we never spoke of it.
It was a printer, in fact. Anyone who has worked in Western Supermare will tell you that we used to have more people coming on their holidays from Birmingham than from...
choice.
From any other town. The locals got accustomed to the...
smell.
A Brummy accent.
Oh.
On his wife. Mary does frighten some blokes. There are men out there who simply can't deal with confident women like her. I meet a lot of very intelligent, powerful 40-year-old women who aren't married, and I honestly think...
Mary doesn't know about it.
It's because most blokes are frightened to death of them. Mary is always happy when I'm...
in prison.
No, it's just when I'm slimmer. And on his writing, he says, when a book comes out, I wonder if one person will buy it. Of course, it's stupid, but...
perhaps they'll buy it anyway.
It's agony. I look at E.L. James or Dan Brown and I ask, what am I not doing? Why are my figures less than theirs? J.K. Rowling, I understand, but I don't understand E.L. James. I tried 50 Shades of Grey, but gave up after...
Mary told me to stop as it was making her eyes water.
After 30 pages. They tell me the sex doesn't come until...
I've paid them up front.
Until after page 100, I never got there. I'm nuts about theatre and go about twice a week. I invest in it too. I own 50% of Greece and 25% of The Sound of Music, among others. Whenever the directors of the Donmar or the National Theatre beg me for money, I send them a cheque. And so they know where the money comes from, I write along the bottom...
of the girl they send round to collect it.
This came from Greece. Charity auctions. Last year, I raised £21 million. A few weeks ago, I auctioned a prize of afternoon tea at the Wolseley in London for £4,000 with me and...
£6,000 without me.
Alistair Campbell, in fact. On the subject of regrets. This will make you laugh. My main regret is that I don't have any...
full stop.
any daughters.
Oh.
Mary is a campaigner for women's rights, and her father was too. On his deathbed, he made me promise I would never...
do that to him again.
stop her doing what she wanted. I would really have liked to take a generation of women...
one by one.
through to the next era, is actually what he said. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of the Posh Persons Film Club. Samantha has to go now as she's off to see her new aristocratic gentleman friend who's teaching her about the history of the House of Lords and the British Constitution. Samantha says her favourite part of the evening is when they go through the Act of Union. So, as she goes off to enjoy that, I'll ask the teams to suggest some titles of films likely to prove popular with an audience of posh people. You can start this one, Graham.
Get Cartier.
Barry?
The butler always rings twice.
Tim?
Second Home Alone.
John?
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Jackets.
The Kleinborn Ultimatum.
Jason and the Arga.
You just can't get experienced staff anymore. How green was my valet?
Friday the 13th, 7 for 7.30, cocktails.
A triple bill, Goodwill Hunting, followed by Goodwill Shooting and Goodwill Fishing.
Who framed Roger's portrait? The Bourne Supremacy, or Hereditary Peerage, as we call it.
Wallace and Gromit in The Red Trousers.
Bring me the hedge fund, Alfredo Garcia.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the horse of time is led by the groom of fate, and the vicar of destiny tells the groom he's not allowed to marry a horse. I notice it's the end of the show, so from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Weston-super-Mare, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke-Taylor and John Finnemore were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.